The Sunday Morning Linux Review, starring Mary Talmadge, Tony Bemis, and Matt Enders as the Beaver.
And this is episode 90.
090.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd last 90. This long.
090.
Yeah. Turn right.
It feels like
for you, Matt, it'd be turn right.
Yeah.
Feels like only yesterday.
It feels like we've only been doing the show for three shows. That's how fresh it feels for me, because I love doing this show.
Right. It does feel fresh to me. I agree, but I would say 20 shows. But it's still fairly new. I mean,
right. Yeah.
And it seems like
it
we've only
like
been here.
It feels like 80 shows for me.
Because that's about what it really is.
Since I joined, I think
right.
There's, you guys have done 10 shows, I
yeah,
think, or
I believe
something
we
like
did
that, 12 10. Or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kidding. So, but it's fun.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think we probably got a quick catch-up to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a busy week with me.
Yeah.
We almost... And then,
well, you lost power.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, your power was out for 20 hours.
Yeah, well, more than that, actually.
Was it
my,
really?
Yeah, because my it went out at noon or 12:30 on Friday. Didn't come on until about 11 on...
Yesterday.
Detroit, gotta love it.
Yeah.
I have never lived anywhere in the country. I've lived out in the sticks, and I've never lived anywhere in the country where the power goes out more than Metro Detroit.
Yeah, and you know, it used to be really bad. The
there
first
was big
year,
storms this weekend.
I don't care.
There was a lot of storms, but the first year...
I mean, I grew up way out in the country. I had to walk 1 mile to get to the school bus to go another 10 miles to school. That's pretty far out in the sticks.
Did you wear shoes?
Yes. In the cold weather. But,
all right.
But, no, and our power almost never went out.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't work for DTE.
That's what I'm saying. It's Metro Detroit. Just they can't. They don't have a handle on it.
I don't. Well,
the first week or the first year we lived here, our power went out like 4 times.
Yeah,
we went and bought a generator. We ran some wires in the house so that I could just plug the generator in, and we didn't lose power for a year.
You sold the generator and then no.
No, I kept it all. But
all right.
But it works out pretty good. And did you hear, speaking of electricity in DTE in Detroit, that Detroit's getting rid of they're getting out of the power business? And
the city
DTE
is, yes.
Yeah, the city of Detroit. DTE's going to take it over.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
What they were losing, like $1 million a year or something
we're not even going
to... Because they can't. They don't collect from people and they allow them to keep having power. Turn those off. Make them get out there with the jumper cables and jump out their meter and... Electrocute their dumb ass.
All right. Well, we're going to... So, Tony, thanks for sharing what you did last week.
Matt, what did
you do?
Okay,
Matt.
What did I do? I read my OpenBSD book.
Oh, yeah. How far along are you in that? Because we need to kind of figure out...
I was thinking about it last night, and I'm like...
Are you close enough to figuring out when we're going to...
2 months. Set it from 2 months from today.
Okay, so end of summer, basically. Sometime in September.
Sure, 2 months from today.
All right. Well, that'll probably coincide with the Ohio Linux Fest. No, it won't.
No.
It's end of August. I'm sorry, I was thinking end of September. That's 3 months. All right, so that's what you did this week?
We may have to shift it.
No tales from the data center?
No tales from the data center because we now broadcast, we now do the recordings on my first work day of the week.
Oh,
So
things don't hit the fan.
Yeah,
and
I had 4 days
second.
Off this week, so I haven't been at work since like last Monday.
Okay.
So I just don't remember. You know what I mean? So no tales from the data center.
All right. Well.
And working nights, it's a lot boringer. It's a lot more boring.
So. I bet it is. Well, nothing much for me. I had out-of-town guests from Minnesota, and so you saw those pictures I put out there on Google+, what I did each night. You know, the fireworks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the...
You got up? Did you go
over
to
see them? Top of the Rensen, yep.
That's cool.
That was pretty neat. And then the ball game, and then went to Canada.
I got to see it from the air.
Did you?
Yeah, on TV.
Oh.
The blimp.
that's pretty cool.
See what from the air?
The fireworks.
Oh.
That's funny. I didn't even see that. So, but anyway, so yeah, that's what I did. And then the other thing I did, and we'll be talking about this later, is I ran some tests on some really cool little file transfer utilities.
Yeah.
That, and Tony, you, we did a quick test before the show, so we'll be
talking
about how fun that is.
Yeah, it's a very simple way to do that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I did that. One thing, too, we have spoken about RetroShare for a couple of weeks, and our intention was to set up a test, run the test. But and I think some people were interested in the results of that
test.
They were. Unfortunately, and I think it was because of RetroShare's RPM version needing a dependent.
It's dependency. It needs an older version of lib UPMP.
Mm-hmm.
And like VLC, as an example, depends on the newer version of lib UPMP.
Yeah, there was...
And I'm not going to F up my system just to install
it. Yeah, no, and I understand. So I think what I'm going to do this week then is I'm going to test. Now, I had tested it myself, but on the same network, but I'm going to jump onto that other, put one system on the Comcast, one system on the UVerse, and then try testing it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Because that way, again, it'll just be me testing it, but I think I'll be able to report back on how the little forums work, how the email system works, all that. So,
if you want to do it late at night, like midnight,
yeah,
then I could probably get on and do it with you.
I'll set my alarm.
That's the only time I can get on my computer now.
Really?
Yeah, because I have to wait till the kids go to bed, and then I can get up and get on the computer.
Well, yeah, maybe we'll do that. Maybe. All right, Tony.
Although, if we have any California or Hawaii listeners,
want to get in on this little decent time
for them.
I think Tom Duchesne is in Oregon or somewhere.
No, he's in Washington.
Washington?
Yeah.
Oregon, Washington. That's the same fucking place.
Three, same, time. Same time zone.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, if you're considering West Coast,
sure,
it's all the same time zone, I think is what you meant to say.
No, I didn't. I meant all the same place.
All right.
Northern California. You can throw Northern California in there too. Northern California, Oregon, Washington.
Okay.
All right.
But anyway, so I know some people were interested in this, and I just want them to know that I haven't forgotten about this. And even though we're a little bit stalled right now as far as testing and reporting back, I am fully confident we'll have something to report either next week or the following week. So.
Cool.
Anyway, so that's that.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Addressing that, yeah, because like you said, it has been slow for us, and and I'm glad that you're letting everybody know that we haven't forgotten about it.
Yeah, that's right, because people are interested. So anyway, so that's about, I guess that's about it. Matt, did you tell us what you did last? Oh yeah, you did. You said nothing.
Nothing.
that was easy.
Nothing.
All right. So. All right.
So is it the Colonel news time?
Matt, what's happening with the Colonel?
We have no release candidate as of...
Now.
Yeah, I think I checked the last time at 6:30 this morning.
Okay.
There was no release candidate. So the mainline is still 3.10-RC7. Stable updates on Thursday, the 27th of June, 2013, at 10:58 Pacific Daylight Time. Greg Crew-Hartman released kernel 3.0.84 with 21 files changed, 193 lines inserted, and 48 lines deleted. And then 1 minute later, he released kernel 3.9.8 with 119 files changed, 1,412 lines inserted, and 434 lines deleted. And then on June 27th, 2013, at 11:34 Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Verhoeven released kernel 3.4.51 with 32 files changed, 264 lines inserted, and 78 lines deleted. And our kernel developer quote of the week comes from Greg Crow-Hartman. He says, Yocto supports the 0.99 Linux kernel? This is a joke, right? Please tell me it's a joke. And what Greg was referring to are the release notes of the latest Yocto version that you can find here, link in the show notes. And if you go down to the section labeled Features, and then read the subsection that starts, Do You Desire Time-Proven Technology? There's a very long list of very, very old Linux kernel technology that is supported, but it's not really. It's a joke.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sure I'll be going there after the show.
It's pretty funny. When I read it, yeah, it's okay. Pretty funny. And it fooled Greg Crow Hartman.
That's funny.
And one of the developers for Yocto said, hey, somebody actually reads the release notes. So that's the Colonel news.
Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
I guess so. Right. Well, that was kind of quick at some time.
Yeah, because there was no release RC.
Yeah.
And normally that has, I read his whole
thing.
Spiel about the release. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we're zipping right along. And also, I think people should be aware of the fact that you are on your happy hour, in case they're watching.
I am. Yes.
He's got a breakfast barley beverage.
I do have a breakfast barley beverage, and I'm about to get a second if Tony would be so kind as to deliver
sure.
it in my hand.
So, all right. So that's going to go up on the
wall of fame.
I think that's a right. twist.
This one was a Grand Circus IPA from...
Atwater,
our favorite brewery.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're going to be down there in August.
And this one is a Stella Artura. I've never had
is that
this
a twist
before.
Off, or is that a?
Is it a twist?
I do not.
Tony
believe
is going to supply
because American beer is the only beer in the world
that twists.
That has twist off tops.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's because the NASCAR people.
Hey. Let's not make fun of the NASCAR people. I like NASCAR.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Well, I mean, it's hard for, you know, they, never mind. We won't go there.
Thank you.
But it's unique. I never think so.
Matt's doing a beer review.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're gonna go into our beer review right now. How is that, Matt?
It was unique. It had a flavor all to itself. I never tasted anything like it before.
But he said
it was good. But it was unique.
Uh-huh.
So it took me by surprise.
I was going to say, what you expecting? So that your face looked
right,
like...
Right.
Yeah, his
but
face...
it was good.
Okay, good. Hmm. All right, well, I guess we'll shift back. What? Yeah, what...
So is it more like...
More hoppy?
It's sweet. It's not a... It's not an IPA. You don't get that hoppy bitterness going on that I really enjoy.
Hmm.
But you don't have that heavy bready flavor either that I hate.
Yeah.
It's really, it's got a very sweet flavor. It was really unique.
Hmm.
So, and it is a lager.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it is. Okay.
I wonder,
well,
is it...
That's Stella Artois,
yeah.
As I like to say.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
On the 24th, we have Zorin OS 7 Educational. It's a 32-bit only, Ubuntu-based, featuring the needs of educational institutions. And I'm not sure what it all features.
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of, it's just stuff. Remember, when we don't know, we just say stuff.
Yeah.
I think what we've tended to see on these releases is that a lot of them are issuing the 32-bit release and going to 64-bit. But these guys, well, for education, they're doing 32-bit only, and that's probably because a lot of educational institutions, school districts, et cetera, are trying to make their equipment last longer, and a lot of it is probably 32-bit. I did notice one thing. Apparently, these guys, as I recall, they do charge or they request a donation in order to download the the premium version. Or
right, no, for the premium they charge. I think it's 10 euros.
Somebody,
right, 10 euros?
I don't know if it was this one or another one, but somebody, apparently, somebody didn't get their product code, and they were really putting up a fuss on the forums.
Mm.
So, anyway, hopefully they got that straightened out.
Yeah. All right, continuing on, we have Linux Lite 1.0.6, which, as it sounds like, it's a lightweight desktop.
It is.
Yep, with XFCE, based on Ubuntu 12.04.
Yeah, and I don't know if you have anything more to say about it, Tony, but interestingly enough, they have indicated that there is no upgrade process from 1.0.4 to 1.0.6.
Yeah.
If it's working fine, if 0.4 is working fine, they suggest just keeping with it. If you want to go to 0.6, you're going to have to do a clean install.
Yeah. Well, Fedora for a long time was that way. Not until 17 to 18 did they have a upgrade process.
Right.
Is that the FedUp?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to mention that. That's all.
Which we'll be getting to test out here soon. Because the 19 is going to come out on July 2nd.
I bet it'll be far better than the last, you know, that initial.
18 was fine, and it worked fine.
Okay. For some reason, I thought there was a holdout. People were...
It just took a long time.
Oh, okay. But just to continue on with the Linux Lite, they've also put in a brand new screenshot gallery, so if anybody is interested in taking a look at the desktops and stuff, and they have a new merchandise site, or at least there's a page where you can buy Linux Lite stuff.
Is it a cafe press? Here. It's just a cafe press.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
It's, you know, stickers, DVDs and USB drives. No, you can, that's not, I don't think that's cafe press, but shirts and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Cool.
So, but, you know, they use XFCE. Mm-hmm. And I always wondered why lightweight distros are stuck on that XFCE, because as far as lightweight desktops go, it's pretty heavy. LXDE is a much lighter desktop.
Well, you mean XFCE? Or XFCE is not as light as LXDE?
Correct.
Yeah, there.
XFCE is not as light as LXDE. LXDE is much lighter. And I think it's a much friendlier desktop, too.
Okay.
I like friends.
Yeah.
Well, no, because XFCE takes a little while to understand and how to get stuff in the menu and out of the menu.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, on LXDE, it's got the panel across the bottom, right, which I think a lot of people are familiar with.
Right.
Right.
So, okay.
All right. Well, continuing on the 27th, we have Tales 0.19. Yeah, it's and this is live DVD.
Yeah.
That's strong in internet privacy and anonymity.
Well, because their name is the Amnesiac
Incognito
Linux, isn't it? Linux
System.
System. Yeah. Yeah. You were supposed to fill in the S, and then you didn't, so I thought I got the L wrong.
Oh, no, you did get the L wrong. It's live.
Oh, I did.
Live.
Okay.
Live, yeah. Linux.
The
Amnesia.
Yeah. Something with an L.
Yeah.
Right.
Well.
And he uses Tor and a couple other things to keep that anonymity going.
And their inexorable march toward 1.0, so they're at 0.19 now.
Yeah. You
know, I think, didn't we figure out it was going to take them 7 years to get their release rate
to get to 1?
And, I understand that they have their desktop wallpaper is it's got a target on their back with NSA above it.
Oh, but yeah.
No, just kidding. Because, you know, didn't you see, was it this week or did we talk about it last week where the NSA is saying or somebody in the government was saying that the NSA is going to be keeping your data longer if you use this kind of system?
Oh, yeah. Now, if it's encrypted, you use encrypted communication.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yep. All right. Okay. Continuing on, we have Dream Studio 12.04.3. It's the latest update for the Ubuntu-based collection of applications for music production, video, and editing, and graphic design.
Does it have a real-time kernel? Does it come with a real-time kernel?
Actually, I downloaded and installed this, just to tell you. And I think you could put one in place, but there is a little setting where you can change your megahertz speed.
Yeah, well, and so that may be related to the real-time kernel, I'm not sure, but everything I've heard after, 2006 with the dual cores, it really doesn't matter anymore because the kernel, the kernel just keeps up with it without... Needing
that special real-time kernel.
Right. Because I used to run Studio Ubuntu, and that always had the real-time kernel. And then after using that for a couple of years, and you know everybody's saying, well, it doesn't really matter. You can just throw in a couple of these programs on regular Ubuntu. And so that's what I ended up doing.
But this distro looked very nice. I mean, it runs Unity, so if you're not... If you don't like Unity, you might not.
Ooh,
yeah,
yes.
Well, I know. I'm looking at you when I say that, Matt. But, it's a very nice, clean desktop. I installed it on the old laptop I got from eTony.
Oh yeah.
And it went very well, very easy.
Very cool.
Yeah, I actually used that as one of the testings for the file sharing app or file sharing utilities that we'll be talking about.
All right.
Worked just fine.
Continuing on, we have Napix 7.2.0, which is the new version of a Debian-based live CD with LXDE. And it's Napix. Napix has been around for a long time.
Right.
It's like the original live CD.
Over 10 years.
Yes.
And actually, anyone who follows Napix probably wonders what happened to 7.1 because they jumped from 7.0 to 7.2. Well, the site provided an explanation. 7.1 was released for the annual CBIT conference, the Linux Magazine CBIT conference. And so it had some add-ons that are usually not installed because they're non-free licenses, that type of thing. So it was sort of special for that conference. And they didn't plan a public release, but due to there were a lot of new developments and the pace with which they came out, they just didn't have time to kind of freeze it and say, hey, we're pushing 7.1 out. So they just didn't do it. And they figured now they'll just go with 7.2. But another thing, too, when I did some investigating and checking on Napix, this release of Napix, is that they've got, I think, bundled in with it, the audio desktop reference implementation and networking environment. And that's Adrienne.
Mm-hmm.
Adrienne?
Yeah, it talks to you by default unless you turn it off.
Exactly.
Oh.
But you can go in and by changing one of the config files, you can have it boot to that by default. Because right now, I think the way the ISO is set up, it'll boot to Napix.
I remember the last time I used it. It booted into Napix.
Right.
But it read the screen to you by default. You had to tell it not to do that at boot time.
Hmm.
That's okay, because cool. Because it's a boot option. Adrienne can easily be preset by changing the syslinux.cfg.
Do you know why he did that?
Why he did it? Why he what? Put this in place?
Mm-hmm.
Probably because somebody in his family.
His wife is deaf.
Okay.
Ah.
Okay, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, very good. But anyway, I wanted to share that because I did some checking in there. And I thought it was pretty cool.
Very cool.
It's nice that it's built into the same distro so that you can configure it.
My first Napix CD I had, it came in a book. And I was just looking. I think it's on my shelf over there, but I can't remember which one it is now.
3.1?
Is it the Woodworker's Bible I see?
Oh, yeah. No, but it was
the... Oh, that was a Debian, wasn't it?
Yeah, what do you...
The switching to Linux, and it's like from 2005 or something like that.
Switching to Linux, yeah. I remember when they used to have those CDs and books.
Yeah, it was very cool. Anyway, continuing on. We have a BSD release. On the 28th, we have Ghost BSD 3.1, which is a desktop-oriented based on FreeBSD. And you can have either GNOME 2, LXDE, or OpenBox.
Yeah, and they, I think they had the Frog. You remember they had the Frog?
Yes.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, this BSD distro is, probably I shouldn't call it a distro, but this BSD system is out of Canada. So,
That's where Theodorot lives, and that's, so that's technically where.
But I was just saying, but it had a Frog.
The French speaking.
Eric Turgeon, I think, is the maintainer. And their download page has a variety of, options for downloading. I mean, it has both 32 and 62, or 62. I'm doing your thing, Tony. 32 and 64-bit versions. You can download a USB or DVD, as well as the three desktop flavors that you mentioned. So, I mean, it's quite a few. And then, it seems to me that he is handling so much of this that he had indicated that he's got a lot on his plate.
Cool.
So,
well, I hope he continues doing it.
Yeah.
It's very cool having options out there. And the last one on our list today is Doodoo Linux 2.0.
Yeah. Those
crazy friends.
Every time they have a release, that cracks me up.
Yeah. That's my favorite name.
It's Dow Dow.
Is it Dow Dow?
Yeah, well, I prefer to say
Doodoo. I figured you would. I'm going to call it Dow Dow Linux because that's probably how it's pronounced in French.
You mean Doodoo?
Dow.
You mean doo-doo?
Yeah.
It's very cool. It's Debian based.
My question is, does it come with the Mate desktop? All right. Okay, go ahead. Sorry,
Debian
Tony.
Based and designed for children between 2 and 12.
Yes. And did you see what they did? They changed the look and to get away from the too much of a baby look.
Yeah.
So, but one thing, I checked into this distro, Dada Linux, and they place a really significant focus on privacy of their users, which, of course, are children. So by default, all pop-ups are blocked. The track, you know, obviously there's some of those web beacons, that type of tracking mechanism. Those are also blocked by default. There's a blacklist that is updated regularly, and whoever maintains that system can go ahead and download that. They also use DuckDuckGo as the default search engine, and of course we all know that DuckDuckGo does not track history, that type of thing. And then there was, they also referred to a site called don'tbubble.us. And again, it's a kind of a filtering, it's a filtering technology, because it, as you know, when you use, say, Google, and I still use Google quite a bit, they will take a look at what you've searched for, and then they kind of customize your results over time. And it's kind of a filtering process. So what this site does is it says, don't do that, just show us the list of results based on frequency or whatever the parameters are. So
okay, cool.
So that's what that, and it was kind of interesting. There'll be a link to that. I think I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Actually, I could probably drop it in the chat, too.
That is cool. Yeah, and it uses LXDE.
Yeah.
It's a highly customized LXDE.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it, and they have a screenshot, and I'm not sure if it's from the latest version or what, but it has a lot of K apps. So like K Geography, K Hangman, K Letters, Canagram.
Yeah, it's the educational package. I mean, there's a lot of educational packages, KDE based.
Yeah, includes Tux Paint. Matt, that's one of your favorite, isn't it?
No.
No.
Pinta.
Right.
That's right.
But it looks cool. I mean, it does look very simple. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about setting that up for my daughter.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that they really, really protect kids as far as, you know, the web, their web browser, that type of thing. So that's good. And of course, Tony, with your knowledge, your depth of knowledge, you could just really customize it and even further.
Right.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
And at number 5 is Light with 1419
and trending up.
Number 4 is Debian with 1721.
And trending down.
Number 3 is Ubuntu with 1823.
And trending up.
Number 2 is PC Linux OS.
Nice try, man.
With 1900.
And trending down.
And in the number 1 spot is Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
With 3394.
And trending up.
Yeah.
I have, actually, I was going to cover this in our little news segment, but I'll just say it now. They apparently are going to be coming out either with a new KDE version for Mint, or they had either dropped it or something happened. I don't follow it closely because I don't use Mint. But they apparently are going to have a KDE version, a new KDE version.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And, you know, I'll have to give it another look.
Say that again.
Do I have
Mint
to?
Mint is going to have a KDE version.
Oh, Mint's going to have a KDE version. Okay.
Yeah, because they did a couple years ago, and remember, I looked at it, and then I
right.
It just didn't grab me.
Because the whole purpose of Mint is Cinnamon. If you're not going to use Cinnamon, why use Mint? Just use Kubuntu.
Okay.
You know.
Well, thanks. I'll take that advice.
Exactly, because Kubuntu builds it for KDE, and with Mint, it'll be like a glue-on.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I think that may be what they're addressing in the fact that they're going to go back to it. So.
If Kubuntu's even allowed to be called Kubuntu anymore. I got a news story.
I saw that. I was posting my stuff. So.
You know, anyway. And I saw an article
and
about...
Actually, Tony, before you go any further,
sure.
You know, we're not going to... I think I mentioned that we're not doing a review. I'm not doing a review
right.
this week just because I didn't have time and
yeah,
that
sure.
type of thing.
That's
so.
Okay. We understand. It takes a lot of time to do them.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I will say I did load that Dream Linux, and that's a nice. It's got a ton of stuff in there. I open Blender, I look at it and think, I could never learn this.
I wish I could use that.
Well, because they do so many cool things, don't have time to learn it. What I would love to learn how to do is use some of the music tools, some of the audio, music tools. You just lost your mic, Tony.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Whoa, thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. See, if that had happened to Matt, we'd just let it sit. I'm kidding. But anyway, so that was pretty nice.
Yeah, cool. There's an article I want to talk about before we leave.
Solid X, Kay Wisher just talked about that.
Well, that's because we're talking about something else.
Oh, okay.
That was an answer to the question.
Oh, am I running behind?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, what else was new?
But there's an article that goes along with our top five of the week. It's called The Most Popular End-User Linux Distributions Are... And so it talks about a couple of them. And it says, what do you guys think the number one is?
I saw that article, and I can't remember what it was. The inclination...
I know what... I know Matt would have problems with this.
The number one is Ubuntu.
No, it's not.
End-User Linux.
And it's not Ubuntu?
No. It's Android.
Android.
Oh, yeah, because of the phones.
Because of the phones because their code base, the kernel is merged in with Linux.
Right,
It's actually a Linux kernel going.
It is. It's total Linux kernel. And I was just reading something that next year, who's that big market predictor company?
Gartner.
Gartner, yes.
Yeah, Gartner.
They say Microsoft's only going to have 14% of the market because they're including all of the mobile devices now. Because Windows started that with including the mobile devices pre-Windows 8, because they said Windows 8's going to take it by storm and we're going to own the market. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Fell right on their ass.
Well, there goes one of my stories. But that's all right. You didn't have that as yours, did you?
No.
Okay, well, there'll be a link in the show notes to that.
I read a lot of stories for the show, and I only... Yeah. And there's
but
only
I saw
a few
that too.
There's only a few that make my
and
cut.
And so, like, Microsoft's attempt to... It kind of came back to bite them in the butt. Speaking of Microsoft, did you see that they just opened a store up in Somerset Collection up in Troy?
Yeah, almost right... It's right by the Apple... It's not too far from the Apple store in Somerset, right?
Yeah, really? I think we should just wear some shirts up there and just go in.
Take our hats
and
wear
shirts. Yeah.
Hats and... Yeah. Put on my Ohio Linux Fest shirt.
My Kubuntu shirt. And just go up there. I was going to go up there yesterday and report on it, but I didn't have time. So, but yeah, I just... And Steve Ballmer was there. Did you see that?
No.
Was he really?
Yes.
For the opening?
Oh, I would have went with picket signs.
Michigan native Steve Ballmer.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Yeah, he's...
Is he really?
Yes.
Yeah, he's from Michigan.
Farmington Hills.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. Well... We try to hide that, but anyway, so, yeah, I wanted to mention that. But I guess it's time to move on.
No, actually, I wanted to continue with that article.
Oh, okay.
The next thing was, they said, so, okay, so what's the second most popular?
Now that
popular?
We've tricked you with the first one, what's the next
right.
one?
Right. There's no...
clear cut?
There are no useful desktop surveys, because everything is like, oh, our system shows, or right. our users are, and, you know, from different websites mm-hmm. and stuff. So they said, so the closest we can come to is go to the DistroWatch's hit rankings. Although, it says DistroWatch is the Linux is the master Linux desktop tracking site for the desktop Linux users' data and news. But the DistroWatch managers... I hate reading this. All right, let me start over. All right. But the DistroWatch site managers themselves mm-hmm. write... The DistroWatch page hit rankings mm-hmm. Statistics
yep.
are a lighthearted way of measuring the popularity of Linux distributions.
Lighthearted way of pissing people off.
And other free operating systems among the visitors of the website. They correlate neither to the usage nor the quality and should not be used... to measure the market share of a distribution.
Only used for entertainment purposes only?
Right.
Basically what it's saying?
Pretty much.
All right.
Yeah. So because we use DistroWatch, I just want to make sure that people aren't trying
to... I think we say that, or our little intro
a few times we've said
sound clip says that.
Yeah, it says we use DistroWatch, and But and I know we've talked about it a couple times that it's more just a interesting, and it's just the page hits on the DistroWatch site. It's not the actual distro's website.
Not the actual distro's website. Just they're very misleading.
So it's just the interest if you want to see what it's about.
So you're saying that Magia's fall to number 7 now is perhaps not true? That
no, it's way more accurate.
That's in what I'm saying. Case, in that case.
All right.
Well, I think for a few weeks we were looking at...
there is one called DistroRank.
Rank, I think it was. Yeah. And they made an attempt to have a more statistical...
But I think they've totally fallen off the radar. I don't even think they've had an update in a while.
More statistically valid attempt at ranking distros. But it is difficult.
And I agree. Well, the thing is, you can't do a weekly update for DistroRank.
No, you can't.
Because, I mean, it has to be, like, annual or
Why are you going Gomer with the hat, Mary?
I didn't think anyone would notice.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
And now I can't even remember is it distrorank.org? It's not even coming up in Google search.
Yeah, I think the whole website's gone. It's
wow.
Well, it was a valiant attempt.
Yeah.
But it's gone. All right, well, I guess we'll just...
we'll continue on.
Yeah, I guess... I'm going to move on to what? The tech?
It's time for the tech news of the week.
I have 4 stories.
Ooh.
4?
4.
You must have added some.
No.
Okay.
There were always 4.
All right. Good, man. I'm tickled.
First up, we have the Fedora 19 release ago. At an online meeting... The Fedora developers on June 27th, it was a unanimous decision that they would release Fedora 19, Schrodinger's Cat, will be released on July 2nd.
Well, was there any doubt that they'd say go? When did they say July 2nd?
Yes. While there are still some issues, there are no blocker bugs remaining. Historically, Fedora releases take place on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, as close to October 31st and May 1st as possible. However, delays in the Fedora 18 release, Spherical Cow, have thrown the schedule off. There are several new and updated features.
Now it's July and March,
It's going to come with GNOME 3.8, Mate, Node.js, MariaDB, Ruby 2.0, and a new system tab. This is what I'm going to butcher this guy's name, but this is what Jaroslav Resnik...
Jaroslav?
I have no idea.
All right.
Who co-chaired the meeting had to say about it. Thank you, everyone, for heroic effort on this release. I guess this means no public release candidate. The July 2nd final release is expected to feature the latest popular desktops, KDE 4.10.3 and GNOME 3.8.3. Bind will be updated to Bind 10, GCC to 4.8 is introduced this release. And new developer's assistant will help new contributors get set up. Then next up we have a house divided, Kubuntu versus Ubuntu.
Ooh.
One day before Canonical made their announcement that they would be switching to Mir with the October release, Jonathan Rydell announced that Kubuntu would not be switching. Coincidence or prescience? I can never pronounce that word. Prescience, prescience.
Prescience. I think that's the way it's pronounced.
Okay. Kubuntu used to be an official project of Canonical until they were kicked to the curb, and support for the distribution was picked up by Blue Systems. Rydell went on to explain the different development styles between Ubuntu and a Kubuntu. Here at Kubuntu, we still want to work as part of the community development, taking the fine software from KDE and other upstreams and putting it on computers worldwide. He's implying there, I believe, correctly, that this is no longer Canonical's development strategy. He then went on to explain the future plans for Kubuntu. So, when Ubuntu Desktop gets switched to Mir, we won't be following. We'll be staying with X on the images for our 13.10 release now in development and our 14.04 LTS release next year. After that, we hope to switch to Wayland, which is what KDE and every other Linux distro hopes to do.
Good.
Yes. Makes one wonder if Mark Shuttleworth will eventually revoke their use of the name Kubuntu because they have chosen to buck his changes. On a side note, the Lubuntu team has announced that they will be using Exmir. It is a translation environment that will allow legacy X applications to run on Mir. It accomplishes that by treating the entire desktop as a single window. So yeah, we'll see how well that works. Then next up, we have the city of Munich giving away Linux CDs. Munich is going to give away Lubuntu CDs to city residents still running Windows XP.
There's another story of mine.
They're doing this to prevent them from upgrading to Windows 7 or 8, as that will most likely require a hardware upgrade as well. So what they are doing is encouraging people to switch to Linux to avoid a large influx of old computer hardware to landfills. Geek.com also says security issues might also be a driving force behind the encouragement. The German government has shown before that it's keen on making its citizens aware of the risk of running outdated software. You may have read an article or two over the past couple of years about German citizens being urged to ditch their older versions of Internet Explorer for a more modern, more secure browser. You'll also remember, as we have reported on this show on several occasions, the Munich city government started migrating to Linux back in 2003. And then last, we have FreeBSD co-founder exiting Apple. Jordan Hubbard, who back in 1993 co-founded the FreeBSD project, is resigning his position as Director of Unix Technology at Apple. He is going to be joining IX Systems, who has been building FreeBSD servers since it was spun off from BSDI in 2001. As their new CTO on July 15th. This is what he said about the move. I'm very excited to have this opportunity to help guide IX Systems through its next phase of professional and technological development. This is not just a great opportunity for me to be part of a company known for its strong support of FreeBSD and other open source software, but I'm also looking forward to helping it achieve new levels of success with the TrueNAS storage appliance, and having the opportunity to create future innovative products. Mac OS X has very strong roots in FreeBSD, so what does this mean for Apple? Probably not very much, as Apple is unlikely to wander very far from BSD core they currently are using.
And IX Systems, isn't that the same company that Chris Moore, who is the maintainer of PCBSD?
Right, because IX Systems owns PCBSD.
Okay, yep.
So.
Very interesting. Yes. I didn't even see that story.
So. That's because you got to stay on top of the news, Mary.
Nice going, Matt. And I tell you, usually I catch a lot of that stuff.
So.
All right.
But that's all I have.
All right. Well, I have a few. Of course, I have two less than I thought I had. But that's quite all right, Matt. I thought you did great coverage of them. This is from the... Did they not get the word that 2013 is the year of the Linux desktop department? We have... I think it's Avira. Avira says farewell to Linux. Did you see that story?
Avira.
Well, Avira. Okay.
It's because they can't sell it. Because viruses don't affect Linux.
Here's their take on it, though. Yeah, we know that. They said here, German antivirus, and this is from H Online. German antivirus company Elvira is discontinuing its Linux products in order to focus more on developing its Mac, OS X, and Windows lines. The company says small businesses and consumer systems almost exclusively rely on Windows or Mac operating systems, and the Linux installations have been declining steadily for years.
Yeah, they're so full of shit.
I saw that, and that's why I had the little tagline going into it, but I thought that was kind of funny because... Yeah.
But, you know, Avira makes a really nice rescue CD that'll let you run their virus protection on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
That's Linux.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I haven't used the Avira one.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, and then, of course, some of the comments were, I doubt it will be missed. Oh, shoot. And then another story that kind of caught my eye, and again, links to these will be in the show notes. I think, isn't Monday, July 1st, the day when the Google Newsreader is going to be going away?
Yes.
So there are, I've got a link to some open source alternatives, and I think a lot of them are familiar, will be familiar to people. Aggregator, Liferia.
I have no idea. I don't use RSS at all.
Okay. I do, and I like it. But anyway, they've got some links to some desktop clients that are that way. And one of them, which was kind of interesting, is called NewsButer. It's a text-only reader that runs from the console in Linux, FreeSD, and Mac OS X. This one's for the diehards. Now, I'd never heard of it, but I thought it'd be kind of interesting to try it out. Maybe that's something, a little project I'll do this next week. Again, it's a text-based one. Unlike the graphical news readers, I think, that most folks use. So there's going to be a link to this article in the show notes. The next one, let's see, City of Munich, we already talked about that one. Are freeloaders helpful or hurtful to open source communities? Did you see that article, Mark?
No, I did not.
Got to stay on top of the news.
I do stay on top of the important news.
Oh! Okay. But anyway, this one, I thought this was kind of interesting because usually when you think about quote-unquote freeloaders, you think about people who just sort of take stuff and don't really give back to the community.
Yeah.
And I think there's kind of a general consensus that people should give back in some way, shape, or form. It was this author's idea that freeloaders are actually good for the open source software community because they spread the knowledge of it, the use of it, that type of thing, and that people who think that these folks are freeloaders are generally companies that are accustomed to having kind of a quid pro quo for your work, oh, you do this and then you get this back, that type of thing. So it's his take that it was good, that freeloaders are good. So I thought it was kind of an interesting perspective. I'm going to have a link to that article in the show notes. Let's see, Gartner's Microsoft Windows 15% mobile. That's already been taken care of. and I think that Linux for You magazine. I don't know if you've heard of that magazine before. It comes out of India. I'm going to have a link to it in the show notes.
I'm going to keep all my politically incorrect comments to myself.
And it's in English, though?
Yes, it's in English.
Well, yeah, because English is, I think it's the official language in India.
Yeah.
So, even though they speak Hindi, they were an English colony for so long.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Colony
for so long. And I'm actually going to put a little link to it in the chat. So, but anyway, I came across that, thought it was kind of interesting. I haven't had a chance really to go into any great detail myself and take a look at all the articles, but I'll have a link to it for anyone who's interested. And then also this week I've got my KDE Corner. And I'll kick that off by mentioning that the second beta of the Plasma Workspaces Applications and Platform for 4.11 has been released. So I have a link to that particular announcement, and they're all, of course, headed for the August release of KDE 4.11 that we're going to celebrate.
That Mary's already running.
No, I'm not. It's actually 4. I think it's 4.10.3 or 4 I'm running.
I thought you ran the nightly build.
No, I used to. They always ran too hot. but no, I did. But then I had to redo my system, and it's not on there anymore. But I could probably, it was Project Neon, I think it was.
Right.
So maybe I could. Yeah. And then I'm going to have a link to the little story about KDE returns to Mint. That was on the Linux Mint blog. And then there's an interesting article about KDE activities. Those are the desktop-like environments that you can set up and use in KDE. There was an article about one individual's use of them and how he was able to get them to really work for him. And I thought that was kind of interesting because KDE activities is really a neat function or feature of KDE, and it really doesn't get the attention I think it deserves. So I will have a link to that.
What can you do with it, Mary? What's it good for?
Well, for example, I could set up, I could set up a podcasting prep activity. And so I would have all the stuff open, all of it available, so that I could just switch to that activity and have
now,
all
the
tools.
Now, how would you switch to that activity?
Well, I've got this little switcher right here on my panel. I would watch, I'll probably crash right now, and I won't be able to do the rest of my stories. But anyway, your activity bar pops up, and then you just go right into the activity.
Yeah, you can choose that activity.
Right
yeah.
here.
So if you have one that you always are doing coding in, and mm-hmm. all you want to do is have your coding programs available, then you can say switch
it's
over to
widget.
This, and it automatically runs everything you need for that mm-hmm. KD or that activity. Or
I don't
if you
understand
say,
how to get that.
All I'm going to be doing is web surfing, then it's going to pop up one that has all your just your
do you have the
social
cashew
stuff.
Visible over on the right side of your panel?
I'll click that.
Yeah, click that, and then it'll say add widgets.
Is add widgets, add space, or more settings.
All right, go to add widgets, and then start typing in activities. We are now doing a live system update for Matt's computer.
Uh-oh.
Over here it says enter search term.
Yeah, just start to type activities.
Activity bar.
Okay, do you see three little dots? Is it like a three? Does the widget show three little dots?
Yes, activities.
Double click it.
I don't. Is this going to put something on my bar?
Well, you can easily take it off.
Is it going to put something on my bar?
Well, do you want to use it? Try it. Want to look at activities or no. not? Okay. Well, then just click it off.
Okay.
You'll be doing it later. I know.
Yeah.
When no one's around. Anyway, so.
You know, Mary, I'm still waiting for your activities speech or thing at the lug. Meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, months ago. Months
a year,
almost a year ago.
Over a year ago.
Well, it's because I started doing a podcast. So I'm
no, I understand.
Right,
I'm
no,
just
I
messing
don't.
With you.
No, but you're right. I thought about that. Man, I was going to do that because I think you put the call out for, you know, hey, what's our topic going to
yeah.
be?
Yeah.
That type of thing. So, yeah, okay. I'll take that on because that'll be a fun one. And then maybe I can talk about it here, too. But the last thing I'm going to mention here as far as the KDE Corner is help us test Microsoft Money Imports in Scrooge. Apparently, Scrooge is the KDE money manager, the money app. And so they have got it set up now where they can import things from Microsoft Money. So they are looking for people to test that out. So if anybody is running that and wants to give it a try, there'll be a link to that particular article in the show notes. So I just wanted to mention that. And that, gentlemen, is the KDE Corner for this week.
Well, all right.
All right.
All right, Tony, what you got?
I have nothing. No. the whole thing with working through
nothing.
Your lunches gives me no time for show prep. So, sorry,
right.
guys.
Do you want to do the Linux convention scene?
Not really. I'm sorry. After my debacle of trying to read off of the page earlier today.
Oh, well,
I don't...
sometimes trying to read live, you know,
yeah,
I know what you mean.
I hate
it's
doing
kind
it.
Of,
I'll
understand.
Let you do it, Mary.
Okay, well, great. I'll go ahead and take up that mantle. Let's see here. I just need to find it. And I'll just, so talk quietly amongst yourselves while I quickly go to find it.
Rhubarb, 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 rhubarb,
rhubarb,
rhubarb, rhubarb.
What?
When you're doing a crowd scene in a play or a movie, that's what the crowd murmurs,
rhubarb.
And it sounds like
it
sounds like crowd murmur, rhubarb.
Really?
Rhubarb. Huh, rhubarb.
Murmur, 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 murmur.
Yeah, not murmur, but rhubarb. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it has
multiple syllables.
And
with
see, folks,
consonants.
You learn something every week
there
on this
go.
Podcast. All right, I do have the Linux convention scene for the month of July 2013. And these are not necessarily in date order because, as you know, oh, no, I guess they are this time.
I guess they are this time.
Because I'm in such a hurry. All right, the first one is the OpenSUSE conference that is going to be in Thessaloniki, Greece.
What?
It's in Greece. And it is July 18th through the 22nd. This is going to bring together a wide variety of open source contributors to collaborate on one of the major Linux distribution projects. The Olympic Museum in Thessaloniki, or Thessaloniki,
I think it's
Greece.
Thessalonica.
Yeah, it ends with an I. So, anyway, but at the crossroads of Europe, Asia, and Africa, according to Lonely Planet, the world's fifth best party city worldwide in Europe's Youth Capital 2014. So, party on. We also have Academy 2013, July 13th through the 19th. in Bilbao, Spain.
And Academy is spelled with a K?
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. Academy is the annual World Summit of KDE and features a two-day conference with presentations on the latest KDE developments, followed by 5 days of workshops, birds of a feather sessions, as well as coding sessions. It's an opportunity to meet key KDE contributors, learn about the latest features, and enjoy the great atmosphere. And then on July 22nd and 23rd, 2013, we've got OSCON, which I think, you know, I haven't listed where that is. I'm sad to say.
Oh, no.
So why don't you Google that quick, OSCON.com, and tell us where it is. Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you look it up while I tell what it's about. Now in its 15th year, OSCON, I think it's out west.
It's in Portland,
yeah,
Oregon.
Yeah, I thought Portland, Oregon, has shown that open source software is the standard for everyday programming languages, databases, utilities, and operating systems. At OSCON 2013, we'll celebrate, and I'm all for celebration, the open source success story and the ongoing revolution. So that sounds like it'd be a really good one to go to.
Yeah, yeah, and this is really geared toward professionals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you just look at their price, it looks like a regular conference, kind of, like professional conference, where if you want to go for all 5 days, then it's
$1,000.
$2,000.
Okay. Yeah, and that's where companies will pay for that to send people
right.
to it.
That's, wow, that is more than the Linux kernel, the LinuxCon. LinuxCon's only, well, if you get the early one, it's $475, and the standard one's $575, and the late one is $675.
Mm. Okay.
But this includes lunches. Does the kernel one include lunch?
I don't know.
Okay.
Very cool.
Is that a cash bar? Okay. And anyway, so that's the July 2013 Linux convention scene.
I think you left one off.
Did I?
The Indiana Linux Fest.
Yes.
Is that still on?
I think it is.
Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I did that. Because I Googled and it didn't pop up. So...
July 26th through the 28th, it's in Indianapolis, Indiana, U.S. It's at the Wyndham Indianapolis West Hotel, which is right next to the airport.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah.
For anyone who
flies
in.
So if you fly in or out. And being next to the airport, there's all sorts of hotels, so you have to stay right at the Wyndham if you don't want to. And that's something that I'd love to go, but I'm not sure if I'm going to have the money. So maybe I can work out some extra jobs or something and earn the money to go.
I can't go.
Because it's a weekend?
No, because I don't have the money.
Yeah.
And I want to go to Ohio Linux Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. I guess if you had to choose one or the other.
We'll go to Ohio. And I'm going to be out of town the previous weekend, so I can't go. I'm going to be in Chicago. But anyway,
Chi-town, the Windy City.
Windy City, the second city.
Yeah.
Those darn Blackhawks.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of Mary being out of town, we're going to have a guest... Come on, guest host.
Yes.
That's right.
Kevin
O'Brien, our buddy Kevin O'Brien with the Ohio Linux Fest. And speaking of the Ohio Linux Fest.
Is that Kevin calling now?
Speaking of the Ohio Linux Fest, they have a call for talks out. So if you want to give a talk at the Ohio Linux Fest, and I encourage you to give a talk at the Ohio Linux Fest if you're going to the Ohio Linux Fest and have something to talk about. So... If you go to their website, which is www.ohiolinux.org, the call for talks is right on the main page.
That's right. Good. And this year, it's September 13th through the 15th in Columbus, Ohio.
It's September 13th. I thought it's at the end of the month.
No, that's the date they have on the website now.
Oh.
I think last year it was
That's my birthday
in the middle
weekend.
Of October.
I will not be there, unfortunately.
Oh.
I'm going to be out of town.
Where?
Ohio what? Linux Fest.
You're not going?
No, it's 2 weeks early this year.
No, it's like a month earlier than it was last year. Yeah. Last year it was in the middle of October.
Oh, yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right, well. I'll have to check. I'm pretty sure I was going to be out of town. That's my birthday.
You don't want to celebrate your birthday with us? Yeah,
we'll throw
your birthday party.
Okay.
We'll throw your birthday party at the Ohio Linux Fest.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, we'll have it throughout there, and we'll have all sorts of podcasters and listeners come, and
that'll
be fun. You should come.
And how many candles on that cake, Mary? Oh, my God.
We're only going to put the real number of candles for your age on there, 25.
All right, thank you very much. It's a factor of 25. All right, well, then I guess that wraps up the Linux convention scene and then some.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we're moving on to our tool.
Tools from the toolbox.
Tales from the toolbox?
Yeah.
Tool tip for the week?
Tool tip for the week?
Well, we're going to have two tool tips.
Actually, we're going to...
Because Tony's going to read...
No.
The tool tip that was submitted by a listener.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk about Duck 2 first, and then we'll talk about the other one.
Yeah, so this week, actually this week's toolbox, we've got kind of a couple things in there, and Tony and I are using one of them right now, and it's a LAN, and I'm saying that explicitly, a LAN file sharing utility that is really kind of cool because, you know, obviously if you've got a server on your LAN, you can, or you've got a Samba, Samba situation going on, you can always put something up on that server, download it to another computer. But this is kind of a peer-to-peer, and actually I just got it, Tony.
Yeah.
This is a peer-to-peer tool called Duck2, and it's D-U-K-T-O.
Right.
And what's really nice about it is that it's a very, very concise install, but it allows you to transfer, what you just did. Files, folders, text snippets, or the contents of your clipboard to somebody else on your network. So this stays within your network. And yesterday I tested that to make sure. I wanted to make sure there was no leakage outside of my network as far as this transfer, because, you know, mm-hmm. Sometimes I get a little nervous about if you're transferring things like that, does it really stay within the confines of the network? And I installed Wireshark for that purpose, and all of the TCP packets and everything stayed within the network. So I felt pretty comfortable using it.
Very cool.
Yeah, so there's going to be a link to it in the show notes, and the reason why Tony did that, or Tony and I are using that now, is that there is a Linux tool that was sent to us by Keith, I think.
Well,
right?
I want to talk a little bit more about Duck2. It's very simple, and it uses its own system. I don't know if
You have to be on the same LAN.
Yeah, you have to be on the same network segment.
Not work across the internet.
Right.
Not that I'm aware of.
Like the other tool.
And what it does is
it
auto detects each other of your, and they're called buddies. And so whenever you start up the program on yours, it shows everybody that you have access to or that's in your LAN. And then your buddy turns on theirs, and then you can see each other. And all you have to do is click on their little icon on the desktop, and blam, you can
identify
files and and like Mary said, send those things.
Now, when you send a file, does she have to accept it to get it, or does it just go?
I have to accept it. Yeah, and there's an RPM version for it too.
Yeah, Matt. So it's very simple and it's easy. Yeah. If you only want to do one or two file transfers, it's pretty nice. But it wouldn't be a good solution if you want to always share files out, like a Samba share or something, would probably be a better, or NSF shares would be better than this. But say if you're at Panera and you want to quick send a file over to a friend that's also there at Panera with you, this would be something simple to do.
Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of computers at home, and sometimes I've got something on, usually put it in Dropbox.
What kind of a protocol does it use, though? You said using it at Panera. Is it encrypted? Is the communication encrypted?
I don't think so.
If it's not, I don't want my file going over the network where it can be captured by a third party.
True, but you probably wouldn't be transferring sensitive information.
Okay,
to somebody.
I wouldn't be transferring any sensitive information.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
B, only an idiot would be transferring sensitive information.
Say that again?
B, only an idiot would be transferring sensitive information.
Right.
And C, most regular users are idiots.
Right. I'm.
But no one who listens to our podcast is.
Right. They're not regular users.
No. But I think the purpose of this is just a quick and dirty file transfer from one system on your
network. And the reason I think they want you to be on the same network is because there is no security involved. I would not use this on a public network.
Yeah, no, and I can see your concerns. Right, but if there's nothing sensitive, then I don't see a big problem with it.
I think, yeah, as long as you're careful about what you transfer.
Right.
I would not use this on a public network.
Okay, well, Matt won't be using it on a public network.
Yeah, you're right. If you tell people you can use it on a public network, you're doing them a disservice.
Okay, you're right.
Well, I think we're just saying it can be used as far as it's capable of being used.
Right.
Now, whether we don't recommend it, I think we are probably all on the same page with that.
Right.
But if you were desperate and you didn't have a thumb drive or something, then this is a way to do it. So.
But yeah, and it goes over TCP 4644 port. And the reason I had to find that out is because I have my firewall turned on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had to allow that port to be used, and then Mary and I could talk back and forth.
Yeah, because apparently I didn't have my firewall on. So I'll be changing that.
By default, most distros don't have a firewall turned on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's more of the ease of use opposed to the security.
Mm-hmm.
And
I used to run a firewall, but I use this mostly at home, except I'm on your network now, so I better put one in place.
Well, I use mine a lot on a public network.
Okay.
So that's why I turn on my firewall, just to make sure. So, yeah. Anyway, so I sent Mary, using this Duck2, I sent Mary the notes for our other tooltip, which is, can Mary read it?
Yes, it's called Linux Stress Testing Utilities. And this was sent from Keith, right?
Keith, yeah.
Yep, Keith, okay. Awesome.
Yep. And so this, what I'm going to do is just kind of go through this. It's load test Linux with the stress tool. Now, this is for Debian, Ubuntu, and Red Hat CentOS. You use this, you can install it from the repositories, actually, so you just use the typical commands to install stress.
Right.
Install stress.
Now,
it came pre-installed for me. But it's stress.
Right, and they make a Linux distribution called Stress Linux.
Okay.
That is built around this tool.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And which we were just, Friday, I went into work on my day off because I have
just
no life.
Just because? Because somebody was doing 128
gigabytes. No, they weren't even doing that.
Just okay.
Because I have no life. And we downloaded this and we're testing this. The distro out with this tool.
Yeah.
And it's pretty neat because you can say how many processes to run, and then each one of the processes that you say run, it calculates pi with that process.
As in Raspberry Pi, no.
So you install this on, or for the distro, you would install on a separate system. And
no,
then
it's on a live CD and you just...
But you would point it at a server and say stress test this.
It's a like if it's problem hardware.
It loads to run in RAM and then it does it from there.
That we've taken out of service.
Oh, I see.
Then
that's nice.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were testing that out, and it also comes. The distro comes with a tool on it that he doesn't mention here called M-Prime.
Prime numbers.
Yes.
Oh.
And we've got a server in the office at work right now running M-Prime. And the last time I looked at it, it had calculated 3,576,000 prime numbers.
Wow. Will it do Fibonacci ratio, too?
No, it just primes, okay. And it keeps calculating them ad infinitum until it fails.
Okay.
So if it's stable hardware,
it
will keep calculating prime numbers forever.
Hmm.
Forever.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And are you going to include a link to that distro? Because I don't know if there's a link to it.
It's old. It hasn't been updated since 2011.
That's old.
So.
2011 is old. I thought you were going to say like 2002.
But the only thing it does is run stress and prime.
Yeah. So then those are very simple.
And you can install stress and M-prime both.
Okay.
If you just want to test your local stuff. Or if you just Google stress Linux, you'll find it. It's easy. It's out there.
Okay. And then another one that Keith kindly included is this one is Load Test Web Server with Siege.
Siege. We use this at work.
Yeah. And Siege is an HTTP load testing and benchmarking utility. It was designed to let web developers measure their code under duress. To see how it will stand up to load on the internet, Siege supports basic authentication cookies, HTTP and HTTPS protocols. It lets its users hit a web server with a configurable number of simulated web browsers. I find this utility very useful. I, meaning Keith. I'm sure I, meaning Mary, would too. It's also good at checking your infrastructure and security. Now, he also includes an example. Again, we'll put these in the show notes, where he'll install Siege to his Ubuntu desktop and test his web server, which is running CentOS with Apache. Siege should be available in most Linux distribution repositories, but it is available in Ubuntu, Debian, and the CentOS.
We have two Siege servers set up at work. One that we use internally for internal testing of websites, and one that we have available for clients to use to test their websites.
Okay. Yeah, so he's got several examples. And then he also said it's there's a man page for Switch, to help Switch for more options and that type of thing. And then he also says it's also worth a mention is AB, or Apache Bench, which apparently has some of that kind of capability. So all this info will be in the show notes.
Yeah, and what's nice about Siege is you can, it's like real-time traffic. You can tell it to do stuff like click links, put stuff in a shopping cart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'd be happy to help that and put stuff in a shopping cart. Then do they give you the money to buy it, too?
No.
No. Okay, well, forget it then. all right, so that's our tool tip for the week. Tool tips for the week.
No,
so we used one. We've got another one. Oh, we have. Yeah, this is bonus week. Actually, the one that we're going to talk about now
is crap.
Well, hang on a second. This is one that I came across, I think, about 3 weeks ago or so.
Right.
And I noticed that Unix Men has an article about it. So I was thinking, oh, we're not going to talk about it because now everybody knows about it, because we like to come out with stuff that might not be as well known.
Right.
But anyway, Matt then, he was adamant that we talk about it because he has some very strong, we almost have a Matt soapbox.
Almost have a soapbox. So. But I thought this tool excited me at first when I first read about it.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to be able to take command line screenshots. Because that's what it does, Scrot. We're talking about Scrot. And it advertises itself as a command line screenshot
tool. Well, that's what caught my eye.
And it's not. If you're in a regular terminal, and if you're working like on a server with no X installed, you can't use Scrot. Because it requires imlib2.
And can you put that on there without X?
You can, but it's not going to work.
You still have to have X.
Right.
Okay.
X has to be running in order for this tool to work. So if you've got an X server running with a conventional desktop, to use Scrot from the command line with command line switches to take your screenshot is ridiculous.
Well, keep
ridiculous.
Keep in mind, Matt, that Scrot, some of the options include the ability to take a shot every 3 seconds, every five, whatever.
I can do all of that with K snapshot and more.
With
K
snapshot, you can have you can have it automatically take screenshots.
Yes, and there are other tools. Image Magic, with Image Magic, you can do that. There's tons of things that are better than this tool that will do it because you have to be writing.
Well, I certainly don't dispute the whole command line. That argument that you just offered, but I have yet to see. I'll have to get the options that you use with K snapshot in order to get it to automatically.
We don't have to script it, but it's doable.
Oh, you got to script it. Oh, okay. I figured if I probed enough, Matt would take his hand.
But it's doable, you know. And
Scrot is a lot easier, though.
You're so full of shit. Your eyes should be brown.
Wait, hold on. Let's go back a little bit. So one of the things you don't like about it is that you have to have a GUI running, right?
Yes.
That's the only thing I didn't like about it.
To use K-Snapshot, you have to have
GUI running. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to have a GUI running anyway, there are much more powerful and easy to use snapshotting tools out there than
I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm running Cinnamon, so I wouldn't be able to use K Snapshot.
No, but you would use the
Snapshot program. It's got some, but I wouldn't know how to script it. Yeah, but I wouldn't know how to script it. So this has an automatic button. Say, just do this.
Yeah,
and you're ready to go.
Yeah, so we like it, Matt.
You're both so full. You're just trolling me. You're trolls. I'm in a room with a pair of trolls. I'm supposed to be the troll. What are you doing here?
Yeah, we flipped the script. No, but I appreciate your comment about the fact that it represents itself as a command line.
Right.
But obviously from a shell terminal.
Yeah.
In an X environment.
Yeah, from a graphical
yeah.
terminal emulator.
But I still think that Scrod is a nice tool and it has its place. But
thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs down.
I'm going to say thumbs up.
Thumbs
down.
Up.
Thumbs down on Scrod.
All right.
So, and just to double check, I mean, these tools that we're talking about, it's just interesting things we find that seem to be useful. It doesn't mean it's the best thing out there.
Oh, that's
So
if you know something that's better, then let us know. You got
I was real attracted to it when I read its description.
Yeah.
And then when I tried to use it, I got so pissed off.
I think it was, and I don't think it's been updated for a while either. It may not even be maintained, but it's still usable because it has low-level requirements that I think still are good. Ooh, boy, that was a contentious toolbox.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
During this segment of the show, I'm doing this right from memory, I challenged Matt and Tony to determine whether a named Linux distro was alive or dead. Every other week is Twist Week, and since we twisted it last week, and we got some listener feedback on that twist, if you recall. Somebody with Slackware, I think, we'll
get
to that later.
We'll get listener feedback.
Yeah, but anyway, but this week, thankfully, is not Twist Week, so the answer, or the question is very simple. Is it alive or is it dead? Okay, the first one is Faun OS. FAUNOS.
Faun. I'm going to say dead.
Faun OS. Alive.
Faun OS was a portable, fully integrated Linux operating system with over 600 pre-installed packages. It was based on Arch, but it hasn't been... it hasn't been updated in years, and I don't even know if you can find a download link for it. So it's dead. So, Tony, are you going to keep track of this?
Yeah, out of the box.
All right. The next one is called Linux Lex OS.
Linux Lex OS. Dead. Alive.
Linux Lex OS is alive.
Oh.
And I actually don't have a description of it, and that's only because I was racing around trying to put it together. But I do have it marked as alive. All right, the next one is Parsidora.
Parsidora, alive.
Dead.
Parsidora is a GNU Linux-based operating system that showcases the latest in free and open-source software. Parsidora is based on Fedora, called the Fedora Remix. I did that for you,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And tries to provide an improved user experience, providing many features out of the box which are not provided by Fedora for various reasons. I thought that was a funny comment. All right. So you're back up on top, Tony.
Yeah.
All right. The next one is Kotex OS.
Alive. Kotex? Kotex OS? What?
I'm going to say alive.
Hey, this is a family show.
Hey, don't pad your statistics. All right. That's. I can't believe I said that.
I can't believe Mary went there.
It's C-O-T-A-S-O-X. O-S. It's Kotex OX. OS.
Spell that again.
I can't even say it.
I'm still going with alive. C-O...
C-O-T-A-S...
C-O-T...
A-S...
O-S.
Kotex.
It's Tassos. Kotassos.
Yeah, there you go. I believe the OS is for operating system, and so it's...
I'm pronouncing
it's
it. I pronounce... They make fun of me at work all the time, but I pronounce everything.
All right.
What if it's...
It actually is... the word Kotex is Portuguese for dimensions.
Dimensions OS?
Yeah, so you could say that.
You said alive, didn't
yep,
you?
I said alive.
I'm going alive also.
Dimensions Linux is... Oh, actually, it's not, I don't think it's Portuguese. It's Spanish. It's a Bolivian distro, an operating system designed for free software.
Then it would be Spanish.
Yep, yeah. It is. So it's alive. All right. So you still maintaining your lead?
Still up, yep.
All right, Tony's going to go into his his that mode where he, you know, that little trick you do.
I'm going to make him answer first.
Yeah. All right. Okay, the next one is Lynn Espa.
Lynn Espa's sounds dead.
Sounds like Lynn Espa, doesn't it? Sounds like a sleeping aid, doesn't it?
Right.
Yeah, dead.
Lynn Espa. It is dead. It was a Spanish Linux distribution based on Knoppix or Knoppix and optimized for Spanish and Latin American users, but it is dead. I haven't had a release for years. Okay, the next one is Auralux.
Auralux? I'm going to say alive.
I pulled out some names that I just thought were funny.
Auralux?
Yeah, Auralux.
I'm going to say alive.
Or Oral UX.
Auralux.
Auralux.
Alive.
What did you say, alive?
I said alive.
All right. Auralux was...
Oh, I could have fucking got my...
Yeah, you could have. was a GNU Linux distribution for the blind and visually impaired. So, yep, it was... it doesn't require any installation since it runs on a CD-ROM. But based on the info I saw, it looks to be dead. So... All right, there it is, gentlemen. Tony,
lost
you're
by one.
Tony,
oh,
yeah. All right, join us next week for another edition of
Is It Alive?
Woo, man.
All right.
Boy, that was a last minute. I'm not kidding you. I was putting that together just before the show. Normally, it's done.
It was a good one, too.
Yeah.
See, that's what happens. Sometimes you put too much thought into it, Mary.
I know. Sometimes overthinking. You know, sometimes I do my best work when I'm under pressure to get something done. I guess it's time for...
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is 313-626-9140.
All right.
And we have a listener. No, I'm just kidding because you run that clip.
We got to re-record that.
Yes, we do.
Is that phone number still good?
Yes.
I think it is.
All right.
I've tried to pay for it, but one day it's going to go bad, so I'm just saying that.
Okay.
But it's
still good right now.
It's that hokey Magic Jack.
It's not bad. Magic Jack, that's what I use for my home phone.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, all I know is they took me offline for 2 months, and they were auditing or they were doing something.
Because it hadn't been used at all.
Very
little.
Still, if you pay for it, you should be able to keep it.
But yeah. But I guess they want to, if you're not actually using it, they want to get that number back.
Who cares? You're paying for it.
I agree with you. Yeah. I'm just telling you what their thought process probably is.
Probably, but you know, that's... Okay, well...
Either way.
Enough of that. Enough of our whining about our phone... And nobody uses it anyway.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, nobody's called in.
I do have a Google number, though.
Right. Yeah, because we had switched to that for a little bit.
We have a counter on our live page.
We do.
Profus2 says, "My special listener feedback. Thank you for the counter on the live page."
The counter. We talked a little bit about because he and I chatted a little bit. I'm pretty sure it was Profus. About the live page, about the countdown till the next live show.
Oh, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah,
okay.
So we added that plug-in, which gives you a countdown to when it starts. Also gives info so what I can do now is if I can schedule events, you know, create the events on our Google Plus page, and I can do the next like 4 shows. And then on the live page, it'll show each one of those. And then we have a little widget on the right side that says when the next live show is, and it counts down.
And he says it does it for the time zones.
Oh, does it for your current time zone? Or
I guess.
Actually, the time zone it shows on the website isn't... There's something messed up with it, because it says PRT, and we're in Eastern. So I don't know what it...
What's PRT?
I have no clue.
Is it a South American time zone that we're
pretty
also
right
in,
time?
Maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. Pretty right time? but anyway, so that's what... that's pretty cool. But what I'm trying to figure out is to make it so that it has the on-air instead of having the Google Hangout. Because I don't want to invite like a billion people because I want to run an on-air instead of... a hangout. So right now the plugin only shows on air.
Okay.
But anyway, let's continue on to the feedback we got.
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback from Scott Dowdle this week. Scott Dowdle sent in... His first one was...
Yeah, that's
up
what
your geek cred and watch this video. And he sends me a video link on using SE Linux.
I saw that.
Yeah. So then the next one was his... he was talking about RetroShare and he was looking forward to our test results, and then he was telling us about how Fedora 19 is going to come out, and it's going to include Mate, and that the staging download was available. It gave us a link to the staging download. So,
okay,
yeah,
yep. So that was pretty cool. And then he also said. Oh, he changed his link from a testing to an RC because they then put out an RC one. So his link.
And Jerome McLaughlin was talking about us a little bit. He says that he was having fun, you know, listening to us. And then he says they make drop-in PDP 11 replacements.
Yeah, because he was we were talking about PDP 11.
Isn't Joel going to be in the area?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that too.
Okay. And then Claudio Miranda mentioned us. He says he enjoys Sunday morning Linux review this Thursday morning on his way to work. Oh, and Tony Bemis, how could you even think that most of those cons were for Slackware? That was our twist week last week when I read those pros and cons for the various distros.
Oh, yeah.
I think Matt Anders and Mary T. need to have you give a review of the upcoming release once it's out. I agree, Claudio.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have anything against Slackware. I mean, that was actually my first main distro I ran was Slackware.
No, it's...
So actually, you know, I've been thinking about going back and revisiting it and seeing what the new ones are. Yeah, and then, you know, Clad 2 runs it all the time.
Yeah.
So it looks interesting.
It's KDE-centric, Mary.
And that's fine. I'm not against KDE.
Yeah, no, but I keep getting married. But then we have another one from Joel again, where he's going to be in the Detroit metro area for a USBS Youth Open bowling tournament that his son is in, and wanted to know if we should recommend any places. So I recommend a couple of places that he needed to see: Trumps and the Ace of Spades on 8 Mile.
Oh my God.
No thanks, Matt.
Are those on the east side?
No, they're on the west side.
Because I don't remember those.
Yeah, they're there. Trust me.
Okay. So you're saying if I drive by there at some time that we'll see your car?
No, you won't. But when you go from our current location in Dearborn to our new headquarters in Southfield.
That's way on the west side then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. That's what I just said.
Yep, I can. Sorry.
I drive by them.
All right.
Okay. Well, cool. I was thinking more of the lines of some restaurants or Marvelous Marvin's
Mechanical.
You can buy food
in both of those places.
Oh, God, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm sure you can, Matt. I was thinking more along the lines of Marvelous Marvin's Mechanical Museum in Farmington.
Oh, yeah, that's a nifty place, but I still recommend Ace of Spades over there.
That would be Farmington. You know, that'd be closer to where he is, or he's going to be, right?
Sterling Heights.
No,
Sterling
Heights. Closer to Sterling Heights.
So. It's on the northern, the northern suburbs. But anyway.
Yep.
So, Joel, that's a place you ought to check out, Marvelous Marvin's Mechanical
And then we
Museum.
Also had from Eric... who I just accidentally screwed up and clicked the wrong thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to be talking a little bit while I get back to it. And
FreeBSD 9.1?
Yes.
It has a new NCurses installer.
Yes, it does.
I saw that.
Which he says is even better than Debian's installer.
Oh, really?
Because, Debian just got a graphical installer, and you still have to choose to use it. It defaults to the command line install.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm. So I said, maybe for our second BSD show, we can convince Mary to do it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Tony could do the FreeBSD and Mary could do Dragonfly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we could. We'll be doing that part two. So that's in 2 months.
Two months.
I think, end of August.
What is Dragonfly based on?
FreeBSD, but it's diverged so much that it's really its own distro now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't like bugs.
Well, and isn't PC BSD?
Because
that's what you did.
Their goal
right?
with PC's, Dragonfly,
and that's based on FreeBSD.
It
right?
is FreeBSD.
So
but it's customized.
I think FreeBSD,
yeah,
but it's got
desktop it, utilities.
Right.
Right. And stuff
no,
on it.
I agree. I think Mary. I think you should do the Dragonfly, and then you can compare the differences.
Right.
Just your overall.
Well, Dragonfly doesn't necessarily try to be a good desktop. Their goal with Dragonfly is to get it to work the best
to get it
with
to...
multi-core processors.
Oh, okay.
So does that mean I need to get a new computer to try?
No,
I, yeah,
no all
I'll
your computers are dual core.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah.
They're
this one is that even the Dell one was dual
oh,
core.
This
okay.
is dual core, and my work laptop is quad core.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll do that. I'll give it a try. My only concern is that I don't know enough about BSD, well, at least right now, to be able to make a.
You bought the book.
I did buy the book, and it's coming on Tuesday.
Did
PC.
You look and see how old that was, though?
It is. It's. I think it's 2 years.
Yes.
Which is okay. It should be. I mean, there hasn't been that many changes. But I don't. I think in order to make a really well-done evaluation, you have to lift the hood and start looking at, you know, I'll say file structures and how processes carry things out, what processes do what, that type of thing. So I'm not sure I'll be able to do that kind, that level of review of those two systems.
How do you use the PS command to look at processes? How do you use the PS command?
Oh, well, PS space AUX.
Then you are using FreeBXD mode. You're using the BSD mode for PS.
Mm-hmm. I am?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
If you use the dash, then it's the other mode.
Right.
And
AUX means something different.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't use the dash.
Although it gives you similar results.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right, well, I guess, is that all of our listener feedback?
No.
It isn't?
No. We have from Sir Eagle, who said that Linux continues to rule supercomputers, and he has a couple of graphs there that are so small.
I think Mary talked about that article.
I talked about that article last week.
Yeah.
So...
Thanks, Sir Eagle.
Yeah.
Sir Eagle is saying right on. And we have Scott Dowdle again, who says, tells us about his WebRTC is going to be the disruptive new technology.
Did you look into that?
I did not.
I did a little bit because I thought, when I saw disruptive new technology, I thought, well, what is this going to be? And apparently, I think Firefox 22 and the current version of Chrome, actually maybe even the most recent couple versions of Chrome, have got this capability. And what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to do things like use the browser to have phone calls, do all those kinds of things without having to go through Skype.
Right.
And other utilities that provide that kind of function. So right. It really...
Google is really getting behind this new WebRTC stuff, too, because mm-hmm. they used to use Jabber for their IM protocol and client, mm-hmm. but Jabber's just so not keeping up with technology that they kicked it to the curb recently.
Yeah, and so it looked pretty cool to me, but I didn't have a lot of time to spend putting something together to do it on my system. But from what I could see... I was favorably impressed with it. And I think there was also a presentation that was about 50 minutes long by someone from Google who's involved with it. But it also kind of reminds me of Chrome. You know how you've got those Chrome apps? It takes
yes.
your browser and it turns it into, well, you have all sorts of additional capabilities. So it kind of reminds me of technology along those lines, where you just take your browser and you turn it into something,
yeah.
something else, some other tool.
Yep.
So.
And we also had one from... Robin Haim, or Hearn, who just said, hey, Sunday Morning Linux Review, how's it going? So I'd like to say to you, Robin, is it Herm or Haim? And now I just did the same thing where I clicked it wrong. And
that's all right,
so
we'll just
gotta,
say...
I got to go back and click it right and say...
I think it was... You sure it wasn't spam?
No, it's real.
It's not it was on Google Plus. Okay. I said, hi back.
Okay.
Yeah, and I said, hey, how's it going to you? We're doing okay.
All right, well, good.
Although, you know, Matt, I think when you do the mail, like you reply with your email, it doesn't reflect on
Google Plus. Oh, I didn't actually reply to him. I just replied
Oh,
okay. Okay, gotcha. Okay. All right. Is that it?
And that's all it. I have. Yes.
Good.
Good.
All right. Well, I guess we're to that part of the show then.
Featured music of the week.
So this week, we are going to be listening to some music that Mary suggested. And it's on the... let's scroll all the way down to where it is. It's on Jamando. And it's called Ghoul Town by Earl Grey and the Lego Men.
Lego Men? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's listen to that.
Okay. We'll do that, Tony.
I'm waiting for it to come up.
Yeah. Go. Right now.
Dark days we live in now, as the political climate change. East v West got me depressed and I've no clue who to blame. Told how to look by a man with a hook and one with the bush on me name. Some go insane, he stays the same like Office Space and burn the place while you're paranoid on the train. Cause a man's beard like he's from Spain, wearing a backpack which seems strange. Cause it's the city, not the lanes, but really it's his bondage day. Although he holds an interesting case, the bags, the whips and a gimp face. That's the place we live today. People succeed in different ways, chasing fame on TV, no shame, or faking pain for acting play. No, it's the way history makes us each year get our phones replaced. Realise next they'll clone our brains and they'll dictate when to upgrade. Cause it's the age of the big old estate.
In terms of the constraints put on the death squads, for example, that are being operated in all parts of the city.
As the violence has got worse, particularly in the last year or so, there have been many, many more of these measures. And every Friday, for instance, there is a complete ban on vehicle traffic.
On your hand, scars on your face, I've seen the future, it's not looking great. The Oracle says we've sealed our fate, like 84 is the big brother state. Blood on your hand, scars on your face, I've seen the future, it's not looking great. Says we've sealed our fate, like it's a forest, the big brother state. Blood on your hand, scars on your face, I've seen the future, it's not looking great. The Oracle says we've sealed our fate, like it's a forest, the big brother state. Blood on your hand, scars on your face, I've seen the future, it's not looking great. The Oracle says we've sealed our fate, like it's a forest, the big brother state. One, two, three, four.
Vocals sounded like the music should have been a little more metal.
Edgy?
Yeah, right. I can see that. All right, so we've come to the end of the show.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we have.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is episode 90.
090?
090.
Turn left heading 090.
Yep. All turn right. left heading 090.
Okay.
And this is Tony Bemis?
United Airways 941.
That's right. Climb and maintain flight level 310.
All right. This is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Saying, have a good week. See you next week.
Happy 4th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 4th of July is coming up. 4th of July is going
to happen before the next show, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So it's Independence Day for the U.S.
Yeah. Although we're really all slaves.
Wage slaves. We're wage slaves.